Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org. This program is recorded from an earlier live broadcast.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Many of us in Texas were traumatized when Winter Storm Uri hit the state and the power grid failed. And there's a forecast that if another winter storm like Uri hit the state this winter, there's a high chance that the grid would fail once again. So wouldn't it be great if you didn't have to rely on that janky power grid, if you could make your own electric power, possibly with rooftop solar? And apparently there are some government subsidies out there that could help you cut that cost. And we're told that the system will actually pay for itself over time. So, wow, what a great sales pitch for rooftop solar. But unfortunately, it was too good to be true for many in Texas, and they were scammed and defrauded. A report from Texas Appleseed exposes this dark side of solar power. And we're joined by the author of the report, Ann Bedour. Ann, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much, David. It's great to be here.
So you're with Appleseed, Texas Appleseed, and typically I associate Texas Appleseed with doing investigations and showing us about things like public education. What brought you on to looking at what's happening with solar power?
Well, Texas Appleseed has a whole initiative around consumer protection. And so I direct the Fair Financial Services Project, and we work on consumer protections, mostly in the lending space, but also on frauds and scams and financial abuse. And the way that we started looking at solar power, it stemmed from conversations with attorneys who were working particularly with lower income Texans, and they were seeing more and more cases coming in of people who ended up with these very large loans, and they thought that they were getting a free government program, or they thought they were getting something that wouldn't cost them anything. And what they ended up with was a huge debt burden and lots of additional costs rather than the benefits that they were promised.
I was really intrigued about solar power, particularly after Winter Storm Uri. Wanted to figure out how do I become more self-sufficient and, have read and looked online and saw a lot of videos about, well, this could be a really, really good thing. And then when I began to investigate, I was besieged by people showing up on my doorstep, people calling me. There was a lot of a hard sell coming right at me to do this. And to me, that was a red flag. And so I backed away. It seemed like, wow, I just don't trust the way this is unfolding. But it seemed like is that the way it usually works, that they really do come at you with a hard sell?
Right. So solar, having rooftop solar can be something that's really beneficial for people if done in the right way. I think that a lot of the problem had to do with the structure and how the industry began to roll out and try to get people engaged. It happened a lot through independent door-to-door salespeople. And so with these door-to-door salespeople, they make their money when they make a sale. And so there's this very hard sell attitude that was built into the process of getting people to sign up for solar. And many times, like all these different people, they're not really connected. And so you end up with these fly-by-night situations where you have this one person who makes the hard sell and gets someone to sign a contract, but then another company that's the person who installs it and another company that's the provider of the solar panels. And then when the whole thing falls apart, you don't even know where to go. And who's accountable or who's responsible. But in addition to the hard door-to-door sales, what we were seeing, and especially we see this standing out in the complaints, is a lot of older Texans were targeted by these people who were claiming, selling something, but sometimes people didn't even know that they were buying a solar panel system. They thought they were just signing something to get a credit check, and turns out they end up with this $60,000 loan. And so there were a lot of shady practices going on in the, in terms of lying about how much it would cost, about the benefits, making false promises, but then also outright forgery and fraud in these transactions.
The harm that this is doing extends beyond what it's doing to the actual people who are defrauded. It does seem like if there are people who are interested in getting solar, like I am, but I'm afraid to enter into an agreement with one of these solar firms because that they have gotten such a terrible reputation, that seems to be hurting or dampening the expansion of a product that really could be good for individual homeowners and also for the grid.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of the reasons why we're hoping in the upcoming Texas legislative session that there'll be some willingness to really address this issue, because I think with establishing more accountability in the system so that it's not, you know, there aren't so many fly-by-night players, and creating accountability when people provide false information, and holding also the lenders in the transaction more accountable to all those who come before them. Because the problem with the lending side is often the money goes directly to the person installing the solar panels. The person who ends up with the loan, the consumer, they never see the money. And so because of the way all these systems are working together, it opens up a lot of opportunities for fraud and not a lot of accountability. And so we're hopeful that by creating some more accountability in the system and disincentivizing some of the structures that are really causing the most harm, that we can turn this around and make it something that is really beneficial for people when they decide that this is the right choice for them.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you've got a question or a comment, an experience with a solar, rooftop solar, if it worked out great for you, we want to hear that story. But if it didn't, we definitely want to hear from you as well, so we can learn from your experience and hopefully avoid other people from having to deal with that. Let's go to Edward on the phones. And Edward, you're on the air.
Hey, folks. So this is an interesting topic. A few years ago, I actually looked into a career change into solar sales because it was like a gold rush. It was incredibly lucrative. The only thing that stopped me was the ethics of the industry. I could not find a single prospective employer who didn't give me the creepiest, shadiest vibes ever. And I've looked into a lot of sales positions. They are typically a little sketchy here and there. Solar was the most sketchy thing I've ever seen. That it gets worse than just people's homes. David, I would encourage you to look deeply into the company that's actually partnered with the city and CPS. They literally have done nothing at all and receive a ton of money. Employees have given, supposed employees at least, have given anonymous complaints online that the only reason the fellow who founded it has partnered with the city is because he's a good networker. It's all cheese and resume padding.
So where are these complaints ending up that you mentioned?
Glassdoor and Indeed, former employees and current employees claimed at least.
All right. Well, Edward, thank you for that. Appreciate it. So to his point, sometimes these outfits, they find partnerships that they look good and they seem to give it the veneer of credibility, but do they always follow through with that?
So I'm not aware of the specific partnership that he's right. talking about, but the overarching issue of problematic practices in the sale of solar panels is, I think, something really well documented. There's been a lot of news reporting about it, but we also see it very clearly in the complaints, where I think that, you know, with sales, of course, the motivation is to make the sale. But the problem is when sales are being made in very high pressure ways and based on false statements and through fraudulent practices, we end up seeing all the problems in the market that we have. I mean, every complaint, and so many of them were older people who were in cognitive decline and didn't even really understand what they were signing up for. You know, they just said, I felt like I have this high electric bill, I'm living on a fixed income, and there's this free government program. Let me sign here to learn more. And then they end up with solar panels that they didn't even realize they'd purchased and a loan for tens of thousands of dollars. You know, it's whenever someone comes door to door and is trying to sell you something that costs $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, I think that on its own is a red flag. Door to door transactions should not involve such high dollars. And what we've seen is exactly what you would fear, a lot of deception, and then these older homeowners holding the bag and not knowing what to do.
So, is there a government program that will pay for your solar panels?
There are some specific programs for lower income people. But those are specific programs that people need to engage in. There's also a tax credit. So in the Inflation Reduction Act, they renewed and expanded a 30% cost of the installation, a tax credit for that amount. But here's the issue with a tax credit. People have to have tax liability in order to get a credit. And so for a lot of Texans living on fixed incomes, they don't have a lot of tax liability. So that tax credit actually never pans out.
So that should be something that doesn't something the salesman tells you typically.
They highlight the benefits that could potentially exist, but don't ever delve into the fact that for this particular homeowner, they may end up with nothing.
All right, so we're going to take a break here. Joe, I'm going to get you back on the air on the other side of this break. The number to call in if you got a question or a comment is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we are talking about these door-to-door rooftop solar power salesmen, what they're offering, how this has gone south for many homeowners, how it has cost them, and what can be done about it, and whether or not Texas would be able to rein that in with greater supervision, some licensing. We'll figure out some possible solutions when we come back from the break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Ann Bedore is with us. She's the director of the Fair Financial Services Project and the author of the new publication, Dimming the Benefits of Residential Solar in Texas, How Harmful Market Practices Are Undermining the Potential of Residential Rooftop Solar. And she is with Texas Appleseed. You can find the entire report on our website at tpr.org, or you can go to the Texas Appleseed website. They've got it on their front page as well. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Joe on the phones. And Joe, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just want to share my experience and some takeaways. I've had several folks come, salespeople come over to my house pitching solar energy and rooftop solar. I've actually sat with several of them. Like, literally had one guy sit with me for like an hour and a half outside. And I asked a lot of questions because, like, I just didn't understand the benefits to me. I had a lot of questions about, you know, whether it's a tax credit, whether I get them paid for, like, do I have to pay my electricity bill every month? Like, I wanted to understand all of those details. And none of the folks that I sat with were able to give me an explanation that I could understand. And so that really bothered me. And so I personally don't like signing up for stuff if I don't understand it. And so I went online and I tried to look up the details, and it was just as confusing. You know, I think your guest started explaining all these caveats about tax credits and all of that. So my question, I guess, and my takeaway was, like, it's really confusing. My question is, how do we make it more, like, easily understandable by everyone? I just felt like I can't be that dumb. Like,
right.
Why am I not understanding?
Well, actually, you sound like you got it, because you have probably avoided a financial catastrophe, and who knows what damage they could have done to your home. Thank you so much for that call, Joe. So, Ann Bedore, can things be done in order to simplify these deals, that so that people don't get hoodwinked?
I think there are a lot of things. So what the caller is talking about, I think that some better and clearer education from official sources would be very, very helpful. And I'm sure some of that exists, but I think that having more of it and more of it easier to access would be very, very helpful. Like some state attorney generals have issued warnings to people or cautionary statements, but it's not often that those reach people in the moment, right? In the moment of the hard sell where they're trying to figure this out. But there are also we're hopeful, like you mentioned, some different things at the state level that can be done to increase transparency and accountability in these systems. Like I mentioned, right now, there are all these different separate entities that come together just to make the sale, and then they all go their own separate way. So you have the person who's making the sale, you have the third party installer, you have the solar company, and then you have the financing company. And these are all separate pieces. And so it's so hard to create accountability. And so there have been some conversations about potentially licensing folks and requiring that designated salespeople who are also licensed or registered in a system be, associated with a particular solar company, that they all be together and part of the same entity so that they share accountability. And so I think that just building in some of these accountability structures will start to disincentivize these problematic practices, because it's really easy to defraud a person when you show up at their door and make the sale, take your money, and then you're gone. But it's a lot harder when people have to stay around and be accountable. And so I think that that's something that will be a very important step, and I hope that there will be progress made in that direction in Texas in the upcoming legislative session so that we really know who these people are and we can find them and hold them accountable to what they promised.
Well, how big of a problem is this? How do we know how many people have lost, have been messed over?
So, we don't have a definitive number, but what we do see is patterns of complaints. And so both we requested complaints submitted to the Texas Office of the Attorney General and the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation, which regulates occupations like electricians. And both of them have seen a dramatic uptick in complaints. In the Office of Attorney General, we documented over 2,000 complaints from Texans, with the last couple of years particularly representing a spike in complaints. And we saw that same pattern with the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation.
Okay, another caller. Let's go to John. And John, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a retired engineer, and I've done some small solar installations of my own and taken classes. And I would like to point out that what I've seen on a lot of installations in town is that there's apparently no quality control. There's a small device that you can purchase and get up on the roof. It's like a fisheye lens. And you snap a picture and you tell it which way is north. And this little machine will tell you then estimate how much solar power is available for your roof. But I've seen installations in town where the solar panels are on the north side of the roof facing north and in the shade.
Right.
So those poor people got nothing.
John, thank you for that great call. Appreciate it. You can also go online. There are some services that will look through the satellite. They can tell you that, judging from your roof, of what kind of solar opportunities are there. But Anne, do people do end up with really wrong-headed installations?
Absolutely. And again, in the complaints, one of the top issues that people talk about is they end up with these two bills, right? It's supposed to cover their electricity bill, and maybe even they can build up credits. And it's such an appealing thing, but people end up both paying hundreds of dollars a month on a loan and paying their electricity bill. And it's a very common problem. Under the law, these companies, they're supposed to give people an assessment of how much energy the system's going to produce, but there's not a lot of accountability for that. And I think the bigger problem is there's no downside for the person selling the system if it fails or if it doesn't meet the standard that they promised it would. And so I go back to the hope that having some more accountability will make a big difference in this space.
Now, the caller, David, and David, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I bought solar not long after I moved into my house. I was one of those people that was really looking to try and do something that's environmentally conscious. I bought the system. I thought that it was going to cover my bill, like we were just talking about. The big thing that I noticed, though, somebody came by and was looking at my thing and my system and said, you know, your voltmeter for your panels is reading one thing, and the voltmeter on your for CPS is reading something different. It was like almost 4,000 kilowatt difference. The big thing that I'm noticing, though, is that unless you contact CPS, they're not really checking this out, and there's no real, doesn't seem like they're really making any real effort to make sure that you're getting the money for the volts that you're providing back to the system like you're supposed to. Unless you're really proactive about it, you might be leaving a lot of money on the table for CPS to make money off of you.
All right, David, thank you for the call. So, and that is also one of the promises from these salespeople, is that once you have solar panels up and they're working, that you can sell the power back to the big utility and make money off of them. Does that happen?
I mean, for people who have successful installations and the systems are installed well, they're good quality, that there can be those kinds of benefits. I think that, you know, I have heard that there are some issues that need to be worked out still between the electric company and the connection, the interconnection between the two. So I think that the issue that the caller raised is an important one, an important part of the conversation. But we focused our research mostly on the front end problems of frauds and scams in the sales process and the installation of these panels.
All right, another caller. Let's go to Michael on the phones. And Michael, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I had solar panels installed on my house, one of my houses, and I basically the household rent, and I've had several people that expressed interest in buying the house, but the solar panels are a problem. They don't want to buy the house because of the solar panels and the amount of money involved in the solar panels. And the whole thing to me was misrepresented, and you're left with the thought that you're going to have enough savings in your electric bill to justify the cost, and it's just not the case.
All right, Michael, thank you for telling us that. So there is that. They tell you this will add value to your home. Is that true, Ann Bedore?
I think that what we're finding is more and more it's not necessarily true. And some of it is because people are concerned about maintenance. And a lot of these panels may be sold with some kind of a guarantee or a maintenance program. But what we're seeing is many, many of these companies are going bankrupt. And so there's not a lot of accountability or follow-up to know what's going to happen, what's going to happen to the panels. And so it can very easily end up being a liability, something that people are worried will create costs, and especially if the panels are not producing in a way that really offsets the electric bills, the value proposition is really pretty diminished.
So if someone, I'm really tight on time, I have no time, but want to ask you this. If you want solar, there are good ways to do it. A door-to-door salesman is probably not the best way to go about this, Anne.
Absolutely not. I would never make a purchase like this from door-to-door sales. It's high pressure. And, you know, it's so important to compare prices, to shop around, to look at established businesses in your community.
Ann Bedore is with Texas Appleseed. Her project is on solar fraud in Texas. Thanks for joining us. This is The Source.
Thank you so much.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.